Hallelujah. The Lord said this, remind some of you that you, your angels are waiting for you to say something. Now, your prosperity angels are angels that have been assigned to ensure that the money comes and cause the money to come. But you've been slack. Now, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. You've been slack and you've been lack. And that's why the continual financial attack. So step up and speak up. And the work of prosperity will begin. And you'll see money coming from various different channels and come into your house and come into your account as you enter in. So let it begin. And begin to boldly say, the money will come each and every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're behind schedule. You've been complaining about how it's not enough. Well, I'm the God who's more than enough. And I'll prove to you my word is true. And you'll live in abundance and prosperity you never knew. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God for it. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you need to, just tell the Lord. I've been slack. I've been lack. I've been talking lack. I've been talking poverty. I've been having potty mouth by having a poor mouth. Hallelujah. Begin to say, hallelujah, and the money will be on its way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't let it slip. Keep faith on your lip. Hallelujah. Don't let it leak. Hallelujah. But boldly speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God didn't create our words just for conversation. And sometimes the enemy, when we repurpose our words, or we would say it this way, we reprioritize our words to only have conversation, the devil will corrupt them. Because remember, when you don't understand the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. And when your words have been reprioritized by you, you give entryway and access for the devil to come and pollute your words. And now your conversation becomes negative. You have a negative narrative coming from you. And you negate the power and prosperity of God. You almost cut the switch off because you've gone negative. Now, if you're neutral, the devil can easily sway you and dissuade you from truth. So don't be neutral in your words. Well, I just won't say nothing. You have to say something. God is charging you and challenging you to say something. He's commanding you even to speak to your mountain. Your biggest problems, you need to put your mouth on them and work the word and watch the word work for you. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your confessions rule you. They either limit you or loose you from your limits in life. All right, I'm going to have to charge somebody because they're taking up my time with me having to say this to you and repeat this to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. We're going to read down to verse number 26. Romans 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Everybody said to all and upon all. So the righteousness of God, that means, we said, it's not only just a right position with the good position with the Father. It's not only righteous, right standing with God, but it's also access and authorization to full legal rights in Christ, our full legal rights in Christ, rights and privileges in Christ. And you don't want to show up to a place where you don't access your benefits and rights. You have a right to prosper. You have a right to be healed. In Christ, you have a right to be healed. You're supposed to be well. You're supposed to be healed. You're not supposed to be sick. Why? Because you are redeemed. You are the redeemed of the Lord. As the redeemed of the Lord, you're supposed to prosper. I'm supposed to increase. I'm supposed to have wealth and riches in my house. Amen. I'm supposed to have family salvation and family peace. I'm supposed to. But these rights and privileges only come through faith in who? In Jesus Christ, and on all who believe. Doesn't matter what age you are, stage you are, what color, culture, class, category you are in. There's no difference. For all of sin and come to the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. So we all fall under that. We once were sinners, but we've been justified freely by his grace. Through what? The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. This is powerful. Whom God set forth as a propitiation through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time this righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, verse 25 talks about propitiation by his blood through faith, or in other words, we would say it this way, through faith in his blood. Through faith in his blood. And then verse 26 is through faith in Christ Jesus. So those two are synonymous terms, and that's where we're going to emphasize faith this morning. Because we are the redeemed. So we have to have faith in the blood. See, sometimes we try to have faith in ourselves. Now, it's okay to have faith in yourself. But sometimes when you don't feel like yourself, when you haven't been yourself, come on now, and when you've lost identity about yourself, your faith can be fractured or your faith can fall apart. But your faith needs to be focused on what he has accomplished. Through the blood of Jesus, through his blood. He's redeemed us by his blood. Amen? We need to have faith in his finished works. So that's what we're talking, that's where we're going today. All right, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. But of him you are in Christ, that's us again. Everybody say, I'm in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God did in Christ what he wanted to do for every person. God did in Christ what he wanted to do for you and every person. Then he put you in Christ. You got to see yourself in him. Not seeing yourself as a beggar or a sinner or an outcast, but see yourself in him, raised up, seated next to him in heaven. I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, famous scripture, we all know it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. See, you're not who you used to be. You're not even who you're trying to be, so stop trying to be. You're not even someone you're figuring out someday I'm going to be. The scripture says we be in Christ. Amen. And so to be outside of Christ means to be in crisis. First and foremost, an identity crisis. And when you have an identity crisis, you lose your inheritance. Your inheritance is in crisis. That means all the things that he has provided and that he has promised and purchased by his blood is now shut up to you, cut off from you. See, in Christ, you have access to the wisdom of God. You have been justified and have right standing with God. Amen. He's made you right. You've been set apart exclusively for God and for his special purposes because you've been sanctified. Everybody say, I've been sanctified. You've been sanctified. That means my life has been set apart exclusively for God. God has a special purpose for me. You have to remind yourself of that because what happens? We said it before many a times. If the devil can't make you bad, he does what? He makes you busy. And when you don't understand your purpose, abuse or misuse is inevitable. You're going to misuse your time. You're going to abuse your talent. You're going to abuse and misuse your treasure, your money, and your testimony is going to get misused where you don't share it or you don't show it to people around you that you're assigned to reach. Number four, you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. That means you've been brought back into relationship and fellowship with God and forgiven and freed from sin. You're in fellowship with God, and you've been forgiven by God, and you've been freed from sin and Satan's dominance and control over your life. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're saved by grace. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. You're a saint and not a sinner. Amen. We just read this during the offering, Galatians 3:13 through 14. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Who? In Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So through Christ's death, we have life, eternal life, everlasting and abundant life. The Greek word for this is the word that means the very life, nature, and essence of God. Now, what do you have right now inside of you? You have the very life, the very nature, the very essence of God. You have the DNA of God injected into your spirit. I have God's DNA. Now, most people don't think that way because that's thinking too high. But when you say, I've got the life of God in me, I've got the life of God in me. When you sing that song that you used to sing in the, some days ago, back in when, you know, a lot of spiritual songs were coming out. I think they need to start coming out. But he said, I got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his power. I've got his nature and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. I got the life. Everybody say, I got the life of God in me. So I don't have to live lifeless. I don't have to live lousy. I don't have to live lazy. I don't have to live loose in my morals. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the nature of God in me. I've got the power of God in me. I've got the presence of God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. We've been already past tense redeemed from the curse of the law. When you look back at the cross, friends, we say, I ain't there no more. Because the devil will remind you, you're sick. You say, well, no, I look back at the cross. I look through the cross and say, I ain't there no more. I'm sorry, Mr. Devil, I ain't there no more. When you look back at the cross, he says, you broke, you lacking, you're poor. You're at the poverty level. You better not ever stop working or trying to hustle for money, because you're going to be broke the rest of your life. You look back across and say, I ain't there no more. I ain't there. I'm not there no more. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Somebody say glory to God. And eternal death or spiritual death is one of the other curses of the law. And all religions are trying to say this is a way to God. Now, I will say this boldly. All religions are not of God. Because there's only one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus said it. He didn't say, I'm a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through me, by me. Amen. Amen. So some people don't proclaim Jesus as Lord, and they still say, I love God. I'm going to God. I'm going to follow God. No, they're not following God. If you're not following and flowing through Jesus Christ, because any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Outside of Christ, you're in crisis. You're in conflict. You're in confusion. You're in corruption. That's outside of Christ. So some people claim to have a relationship with God, but see, not everybody has a relationship with God, because when you have a relationship with God, you're called a child of God or a son of God. Some people that don't have a relationship with God only calls themselves a sinner. But that's not the language of the redeemed. Redeemed says God has bought me by the blood of Jesus. I've been bought and paid with a price. Amen. I glorify God in my spirit and my body. Amen. I belong to God. I am a child of God. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, I am redeemed. You have faith in your redemption. Because God, through the redemptive realities and truths of God, you have been brought back to relationship and fellowship. Now, what sin does, sin breaks fellowship, not always necessarily relationship. So we get cut off or separated from God's what? Presence, God's peace, God's power, God's protection, and God's provision. It's good to be in fellowship. Sin breaks that fellowship. So when you sin, you step out of God, and you need to get back to God in a hurry. Step into sin is a step out of God and is a step away from the will of God and the plan of God for your life. You need to get back to God in a hurry. So our faith in his finished works and the accomplished facts done through the death, burial, and resurrection is in its finished works and what has already been done through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. One of the big bases of our faith is what God, through Christ Jesus our Lord, has already done and has already accomplished for us. In other words, our faith focuses on first from where he finished and what he has already done. And like we said earlier, simply put, faith in the blood. See, the blood has done it. The blood still works today, never loses power. The covenant is still ratified, established, still fixed, and made valid. It's still active today. The blood is still over the heavenly mercy seat of heaven. Amen. It's eternal blood. It's the blood of God. It's part of the redemptive truths. So faith, we say, begins with knowing redemption facts. Faith begins with knowing redemption facts. Because some people say, well, I got faith in God, but it's aimless, it's unfocused. But how does our faith begin? As we go into this season of the resurrection and the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, when we celebrate, this first seasonal focus needs to be on our redemption. We need to rejoice in our redemption. Amen? Faith begins with knowledge. Knowledge about God, his word, and his will for our lives. If you read through the chronicle of the Bible, you realize that the Bible is a bloody book. There is a scarlet thread called a bloodline from Genesis to Revelation. When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing songs about the blood. It's good to know about the blood before you get to heaven. So you won't have to take the remedial class that I might be teaching about the blood. And you say, Pastor, what are you doing teaching? Well, you didn't get it on earth, so you got to get it up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe not. But anyway. So where knowledge stops, our faith stops. Because if our faith is to begin with the redemption flag, because what's our faith backed up? What backs up our faith? The facts that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from death. But what those were events in history, but what are its effect to help us today and give hope to us today? Those are hugely powerful. Amen. So why is faith based on knowledge? Faith is based on knowledge of the revealed knowledge, not just information, but revelation. And one way to say it, faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, we just read 4 or 5 scriptures earlier that showed you different aspects of who we are in Christ and where we are in him and what we possess in him. One big thing was redemption. Amen. See, the principles and patterns that we are to practice, implement, and exercise and operate the law of faith are based on redemption facts and eternal truths. Redemption facts and eternal truths. These bedrock of redemption realities and bountiful redemptive facts enables and emboldens and empowers our faith to activate, to access, and appropriate our better covenant, established upon better promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. That means all the promises, 3,050-something or whatever the number is, promises, all of them, you don't even have to ask a question. Can I have this? They're already yes. The answer is yes. Now, what's your question? And the answer is, so be it. Now, Jesus told people, according to your faith, so be it unto you. What was he saying? In essence, he was saying this. What you can believe for, you can receive. A man or woman gets or receives in life what he believes for, nothing more or nothing less. If you don't believe for prosperity, if you don't believe in prosperity, you'll never receive. Even though it's already been predetermined in the mind of God, in the will of God, yes, so be it. But it takes us believing it to receive it. Amen. How do we get redeemed? Well, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The New Living Translation says it this way. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. He purchased our freedom through the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. Amplified Classic says it this way. In him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood. The remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. Passion Translation says it this way. Since we have now, we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasure of redemption by his blood. The total cancellation of our sins. Listen to that. All because of the cascading riches of his grace. And Colossians 1:14 says it this way. In whom we have redemption. Now, notice it doesn't say in whom we are going to have. I want to get that point to you. Or someday you're going to get to have. He said you have it when? Right now. It's a present possession. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin. Why is that so important? Because the redeemed are the only ones that receive. They qualify to receive answers to prayer, healings, salvation, deliverance, protection, prosperity, peace, safety. Come on now, do we keep going? Amen. You got all the exceeding great and precious promises that you already have in your redemption package, purchased by the blood of Jesus. Now, you got to think about this. You're going to have to chew on Ephesians 1:7 and chew on and meditate on Colossians 1:14. I have redemption through the blood of Jesus. Now, we are, with our faith, charged and challenged to reinforce our redemptive or redemption rights and privileges. Because there's no such thing as unchallenged faith, but the devil's not going to not let you just have all your benefits and blessings without his opposition. He's going to oppose you through circumstantial resistance or unwitting people he uses to persecute you or cause you problems and pain. He's going to tell you, you're not healed. Look at you. You're hurting. You're flames. The doctor's report's ugly. Come on now, just speak what you see. Just talk about how you feel. And we never reinforce our redemptive benefits and blessings. Now let's go back and redefine again what is redemption. It was what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing when he died on the cross for us, shed his precious blood, was raised from the dead by God, his Father, and carried away his very own blood into the heavenly holy holies. He was just not doing just an event, but it was taking care of an eternal plan of God. Because we have been eternally redeemed. Praise God. So what price did Jesus Christ pay for our sins and purchase our salvation? Because there's a high price that had to be paid. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus had to die our death. He had to carry our cross. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the aimless conduct received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, redemption means freedom through the payment of a price, is the simple definition of redemption. Freedom through the payment. So what do we mean free? So some of us need to get more excited about the cross. Amen. Remember Paul's statement and profound statement in by the Holy Spirit in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives on the inside of me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then right after that, verse 20, 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So the question is, are you frustrating God's grace? God's grace, God's redeeming grace of what? You prospering, you being in health, you seeing deliverance, you seeing victory, you seeing triumph in your life. It's because he said, I attribute this to me being crucified with Christ. That means I keep the cross top of mind and center of focus. Because it speaks to my redemption. The dictionary defines the word to redeem as to buy back, to repurchase, to get back, to recover, to ransom, to pay off a mortgage or note, to liberate from captivity, to deliver or to reclaim. Now, 1 Timothy 2:6 says it this way, who gave himself a ransom for all, redemptive terms, to be testified in due time. We have been redeemed. The plain English Bible says it this way, he gave himself as the price of freedom for all men. So when we tell people, I'm free, you know, Jesus has set you free. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So God paid the price for you in Christ over 2,000 years ago. And as the gospel song says, Jesus paid it, how much? All. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he's washed me white as snow. See, Christianity does not begin with something you do. Now, religion always tells you this is what you got to do to earn or merit grace or salvation or deliverance from God. But Christianity begins with something that has been done for you in Christ. Everything Jesus did in his death, his resurrection, was done for you. Done for me. As some translation says, in your behalf. Why did he go to the cross? Why do we remember it during communion? Why do we celebrate it during the Easter season? It was done for me. So we go back and look at our redemption and say, wow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, that sickness doesn't have to run its course anymore in my life. That sin doesn't have to run its course anymore in my family. Come on now. That shame does not have to run its course in my life. That sorrow, that depression, that discouragement doesn't have to run its course no more in my mind. So if everything Jesus did was for you, it is set to the credit of your account. It's set to the credit of your account. He paid it all. He did it all. The enemy's sitting there nagging you, saying, you got to do something about this depression. You got to do something about these migraine headaches. You got to do something about this discouragement. I mean, you got so many Christians coming through. And as the pandemic is progressing somewhat and getting a little bit looser on restrictions, you know, we should all be excited to be the church and to build the church. But some people still are lethargic and somewhat lazy about being fired up for God. They still come with the countenance that they've fallen apart because of God. Somebody say glory to God. So if he's done everything, it's set to your credit account. You could say it this way. God, Jesus gets the glory for everything that has been done. But you get the credit because he's acting on your behalf. So in other words, he did all the work, but you got all the pay in your account. You got his paycheck. Does everybody see that? Because most, some of us have gotten stimulus. Some of us are probably still waiting on it. But you all understand those terminologies. You didn't work for that stimulus. But you got credited. You got it deposited into your account. If you qualified for it and, you know, you were in that category. Amen. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? So Jesus did it all, but he gave you the pay and the promise and the provision for what he did. Everybody say, I am redeemed. Hebrews 9:12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Goodspeed says he secured our permanent deliverance. Somebody said, well, I got a bad habit, Pastor. I remember I had some habits, and you know, sometimes those things latch hold of us because of environment or something we've learned growing up, or tendencies because of our environment that we picked up. And I said, Lord, I don't like that about me. I remember walking to the mall one time. He said, you know, you've already been delivered from this because I've redeemed you. And it's like I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit like an amplifier in my spirit walking down the mall and said, I'm delivered. It's permanent deliverance. Sin has no more hold on me. Hallelujah. Come on now. Because some people have different types of vices or vexing things or perhaps habits or addictions even that grip them. You know, one of mine was worry. Man, it's just as big a sin as adultery. Now, sometimes we don't count it that way, but worry is a sin because it's a disdainful distrust and disbelief that God cares, he knows, or he exists at all. We say it this way, it's like temporary atheism. We're saying, God, you nobody, God, you nowhere. So I was judging and doubting and being dishonoring to God by walking around with a head and a heart full of care and worry. And I said, Lord, I don't like this about me. I hate this aspect of evil working inside of me because, you can't go to sleep sometimes because your head's spinning 100 miles an hour. Anybody ever been there? Hopefully nobody's there. We can pray for you if you're there now. Praise God. But, you know, I was a world champion. If there was a belt, I probably had the belt or, the championship belt for being a world champion worry wart. Anybody can relate to me? But so when you know you've been redeemed and you've been permanently delivered, it's like I was sitting in a prison cell. Just imagine this. I'm sitting in a prison cell, but the Lord says, the door is open. The chains are off. Now get up and walk out of the prison door. Prison. Why are you still sitting in the prison cell? Everybody say, we've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, glory to God. So redemption is not a temporary thing that must be added to by man or replaced later by something more effective. Jesus' blood alone, it was enough. Christ is enough. You know, I've had friends, and sometimes I hang around certain friends growing up in Christian life that were gossipy and complaining. I mean, particularly I'm thinking about one church we were at, and a lot of people in leadership on my, leadership team, the team I was on, ministry leadership, man, they get over, and man, they love to roast and talk about problems and sometimes talk about the pastor. And, you know, if you hang around people that gossip and have loose lips, that spirit sometimes will jump over in you. I've been there. I've done there. I can show you the T-shirt. I burned it already. But I can but you hang around people that like to do that, you're going to become like that. So, you know, like people on the job, you know, they would hang around the water cooler or snack room or break room, and they talk about the boss. Or talk bad about the company. And how many of you know that sinful, insidious nature, negative spirit of having a mouth like diarrhea or dysentery? I'm using those powerful descriptions because that's what a gossip is. It's like having diarrhea of the mouth or dysentery of the mouth. I mean, you just can't keep pouring out poison and putrid stuff. Amen. Amen. So anyway, I couldn't keep my mouth shut sometimes. And the Lord had to check me. Now, I can talk about me. Nobody get offended, right? But everybody can relate to what I'm saying, right? So had to check me. He said, you need to cut off these associations that are corrupting you. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. Because 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. So my manners of honor, of respect, of being disciplined in my speech was getting corrupted and corroded because the company I was running around with, because they liked to bathe in gossip. The first thing coming out of their mouth was talking about folks. I'm talking about church folks. This is not redemptive language. See, you've been redeemed from having a potty mouth or poison mouth or perverted mouth or a profanity mouth. Because some people like to be closet cussing Christians and think that's okay. But see, our words there's no such thing as inconsequential words. If I put curse words out there, curse words are going to come back. And see, words spoken, if they're unspoken, they die unborn. But once they're born, they will grow and produce. So I can't stub my toe and cuss. I can't talk about people get myself into a frenzy and cuss them out behind their back. I can't slander and be a potty mouth with my words and think it's not going to come back at me. I don't. Why am I talking about this? But anyway, praise God. But I had to cut it off. Somebody said, cut it off. Because sometimes, he said, you are shooting holes in your own boat, the Lord said. Your bazooka, back then in military term, you know, weapon term, your bazooka is supposed to be pointed at the enemy. But you see, I had to turn the power down on your mouth because it's so poisonous that you'll kill your whole family the way you're talking. Keep your repenter close. Repent, Lord. Hallelujah. But then I got to act on that, you know, get away from those people. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, permanent. The Amplified says a complete redemption and everlasting. See, a complete redemption covers everything. Now, if you think of, just take just a second as we get ready to close. If you think of anything or anything you would dream of or need or desire, just think of it for just a second. Your redemption covers it. And we said earlier, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. We got to start living to the level and the limitless potential, my sister, of our redemption. Because it covers everything, my sister. And everlasting means it lasts forever. God has left nothing out. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. Everybody say, I am redeemed. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All that man needs is supplied in Christ. The past, present, and future has been taken care of. The spirit, soul, and body have been taken care of. all because of what Jesus has done. That's why we shout and we sing the songs of the redeemed. We fulfill Psalms 107 verse 20. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You should be saying so every day and every way. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. He has redeemed my life from destruction. I'm crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. That means you're not trying to get it or struggling to get it. Jesus got it for you. So it's yours. All you have, you have it now. So it's an accomplished fact in Christ. Your redemption was legally purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. Legally purchased. Because the devil will mess with your head legally because he's called a prosecutor attorney. Because he's the Greek word antidikos, where he's an accuser of the brethren. So he tells you don't deserve that. Look how bad you've been this week. Look, you even cussed on Tuesday. And it's Friday, and he's already bugging you about what you did on Tuesday. And that's under the blood. Somebody said, glory to God. And you let him keep you at the sinner level. And with a sinful mind. When you've been redeemed to be a saint. Praise God. Because what your Savior has done for you. Now, when you get a revelation about this, you be hanging off the chandeliers, you be running around the house and say, "Woo, glory to God, I'm redeemed." Amen. And you'll begin to speak boldly, "God is for me. This cannot be against me. He spared not his only son, come on now, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give me all things?" Amen. If he gave me Jesus, if he gave me his blood, come on, he'll give me anything and everything I need. See, no amount of money could buy your release from Satan, sin, sickness, sorrow, shame, or the past. Only the blood of Jesus has legal payment, is legal payment for your freedom. Religion will tell you, and the Satan will even tell you, you got to work and earn this. You deserve all this because you were bad. You had big mistakes with your kids. You messed up in your family. You messed up in your finances. You'll never get fixed. And then you get there and agree with the devil. Oh, yes, you're right. You're right. No. Say, I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. So if Jesus paid so high a price for your release, why are you still sitting in prison? His blood has made you worthy. His blood has made you to become a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. His blood has delivered you from the power, control, and domination of darkness. Come on now, stand to your feet. His blood has delivered you from the authority and control of Satan. Amen. He's placed you in a position where all things come under your authority. Now I'm going to say a bold statement. What you allow in your life is what God has to allow and permit in your life. Why have you been redeemed? First and foremost is that you've been redeemed to sonship. That means the authority that Jesus has presently, you have presently. So whatever didn't run or ruin Jesus will never run and ruin you. But what you allow, God has to allow because the authority is yours. You are the redeemed. And so the redeemed have to say so.